Hello, and welcome to the second episode of Two Guys, One Cup, the FPL podcast.
Say my name, say my name.
Seat Kolasinac.
If no one is around you, say baby I love you. If you ain't running games, say my name, say my name.
It's how you say my name.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. My name is Sham, and alongside me I have Shez. You probably listened to that intro thinking, what the fuck is all that about? Well, basically, since we launched our pod, we've had some really great feedback from you all on Twitter and the listeners. We genuinely really appreciate it, and we've been overwhelmed by it. As well as all the great stuff, we've also had some bits of improvement. And one great bit of feedback came from @Aleximo on Twitter, who said that our pronunciation of an Arsenal left-back needed improving. So being the good guys we were, we decided to do some research and thought we'd share with you all the correct pronunciation. So Shez, the all-important question is, have you got his fucking name right?
Sham, I've been practicing all week. I have nailed this. Check this out.
Seat Kolasinac.
You cheeky fucker. Alright, we'll
Isn't
move
it
by
just
there.
Like him?
Should we just call him Coca-Cola? Right, Shez. So let's move on. What have we got on the agenda today?
We've got quite a lot, actually. Are you sure we're going to be able to cover all of this?
Well, let's try. We'll
okay.
Give it a go.
Okay, so we've got keepers, budget players, Aguero versus Aubameyang, Tosin, Arnie and Zaha, United, most important topic of today. Chelsea, our favourite picks, and of course your questions, and we'll finish up with changes to our team if we get some time.
Cool. Right, so let's crack on then. So keepers, so I guess I put this on the agenda because on Twitter there's a lot of talk at the moment about what kind of, you know, how you want to play your keepers. So essentially I think it comes down to three types of options. So you've got your set and forgets, i.e. your De Gea or you know, potentially Edison or Alisson, and then you've got a 4.5 rotation pair, and then you've got a 4.5 and a 4.0 where you only intend to obviously play that 4.5. So those are the three types of options you've got with keepers, and I guess we just wanted to talk a little bit about it. Me and Shez have had some arguments about this.
I'm not sure we agree.
We don't really agree with the different options. So I guess out of the three, Shez, what's your preference and what's your thoughts on the others?
So I'm actually somewhere in the middle. I've gone for a premium keeper in Alisson. I think he is a good way into getting into the Liverpool defence at a fairly reasonable price. But at the same time, I still have a 4.5 keeper alongside him. I don't see any 4.0 keepers that were playing or be starting. And so, you know, I'd rather be paying that 0.5 just to make sure I've got someone on the bench that can come on.
But just how often, like realistically, right, are you going to swap that 5.5 for the 4.5? And how often is that 5.5 keeper going to get injured? It feels like you're just wasting 0.5 for the sake of it. Like, I understand having the 4.5 and the 4.5 rotation pair. I get that because you want to make sure they have a good fixture, and I understand that. But I just don't get the 5.5 and the 4.5 option.
I disagree. The reason being, I don't think. I mean, last season we had De Gea, who would have been a great set keeper. You have him in, and you don't really need anybody else. You just go for the cheapest second option, so you're saving funds, and that's because he had a phenomenal season. But realistically, who's going to have a season like that this year? I mean, I would classify three premium keepers in Alisson, Edison and De Gea. De Gea looks a bit shaky from the World Cup. There are a few issues about United, which we'll talk about later. Edison, is he going to have a changing defence in front of him? You know, who are going to be the centre-backs? Are they going to be rotating? Could that impact the number of clean sheets he keeps? Alisson's new in the Premier League. The main reason I've gone for him is just because he's decent value at 5.5 compared to some of the Liverpool defenders who are 6 million plus. So
yeah, see, I disagree, to be honest with you. You're saying in terms of De Gea, playing so well last season, yeah, he did, but if you look at his points, I think he scored like 175, something like that, and Fabianski scored like 150, like, or 60. He was only like 15 points behind for 1.5 million.
Yeah, that's because he was playing for a decent team, and now he's
Swansea got relegated. What the fuck are you talking about?
Now he's moved to some poxy East London.
Swansea got fucking relegated. Okay, granted, you know. Fab did save three penalties, and that helped obviously with the, and plus the bonus points he got from saving those penalties. I get that, but I just don't see the value. So for me, I was on the initially I was on the rotation pair, and then I thought, do you know what, I just don't see the point, because what's going to end up happening is I'm going to have a rotation pair in, and one week I'll put him in, and then the guy on the bench will outscore the guy that I'm playing, and then vice versa, and I'll just get fucking pissed off with it. So I thought the best thing is have one keeper, have a 4.0 on the bench that's never going to play. It's only for the first 4 or 5 weeks until, you know, wildcard, and then when I wildcard, I'll reassess. So if, for example, Man City are playing better, if you know, they've got their full team back, and if Man U sort out their defence, maybe I'll get into De Gea and someone like that. And I do want a set and forget keeper in the end, I think, but it will be a 4.0 on the back of it. Like, I'm not going to have a 4.5, I don't think. I guess it all depends on what happens for the first 4 or 5 weeks, but at the moment I'm pretty much set on Fabianski. And I think even when, you know, okay, West Ham do have two tough fixtures in the first four, but I think he'll get save points, and I think that's where the value is.
So you're bringing him in just on the basis that you think he'll be getting some points for making several saves. I think that's risky.
Yeah, no, he'll get the odd clean sheet, but he's going to rack up the save points as well. You know, that's what I think.
I think that's risky. If you are playing your wild card pretty early on, which I think we both said we were planning to, I mean, there's no guarantee that I will. But if you are, then I suppose that strategy is fine. But if you're holding on to your wild card till sort of week 8 or 10, just having Fabianski as your only keeper, that's not a strategy that I would deploy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Who are the top six are you facing in your sort of first 10?
So I think we've got Liverpool, and then I can't remember who else we've got. I think we've got a tough game week 3.
The thing is, if you're playing one of the top six, would you be putting Fabianski in goal against them? Just on the basis that he may be scoring points by making saves. I mean, for me, your bread and butter is keeping the clean sheets, getting things like bonus points and you know, points for saves. That is actually a real bonus in the sense. So
yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. Can you guarantee that? You know, is it worth the extra million in terms of for the first 4 or 5 weeks? I mean, it all depends on what your strategy is in terms of how you're planning to play it. I think that's, for me, what it comes down
to. Not necessarily for the first 4 or 5 weeks, because we don't know how teams are going to be playing, and you really need the first few weeks to sort of assess how, you know, each team setting themselves out, you know, which formations they're playing, etc. But I would probably still go with one of the more, you know, and a keeper from top 16.
So I've just checked the first few fixtures for West Ham. We've got Liverpool away, Bournemouth at home, Arsenal away, Wolves at home, Everton away, and then Chelsea and Man U at home. Two hard games, and then Brighton, and then Spurs. But I'm only looking at the first four. So Liverpool, Bournemouth, Arsenal, Wolves. Fabianski is one of the best, if not the best, for save points in the league. And I think when you come in across someone like Liverpool, who's going to be smashing out, you know, with Salah and Mane and Firmino.
Yeah, but he may not get a touch on those. It may be straight through him. So, yeah, it's all very well. You know, they might have loads of shots, but
yeah, I don't know. I mean,
that's a difficult run-in, actually.
No, of course it is. I mean, so you've got other options there. You've got Foster, Watford.
So, do you want to discuss the 4.5 keepers?
Yeah, so in terms of rotation pairs, you've got West Ham rotate well with, I think it's Bournemouth and, oh no, Southampton. West Ham rotate well with Southampton, and Bournemouth rotate well with Watford, I think it was. So those are good options. I just don't trust Bournemouth defence.
Not sure I trust Southampton.
Well, yeah, they're a bit dodgy as well. That's the problem. Patricio is a good option as well at Wolves. If you want a 4.5 and a 4.0, again, that's another good option. I mean, you probably know more about him than me, being Portuguese.
Yeah, he's a very good keeper, but he's new to the Premier League. He's been playing in the Portuguese League, which, as you know, is very different. So I probably want to see how he gets on. I mean, at the moment, I don't have him in. I have Fabianski and Alisson.
Yeah.
Which, by your strategy, probably means I spent too much in, you know, for my keepers. But, you know, I would probably like to rotate those two. You know, I mean, again, I've been changing my team pretty much every other day. So,
I think most people like to
so you know, maybe I don't have any of those two by the time, you know, season kicks off. But at the moment, yeah, that's what I think. That's the strategy I'm going to deploy. I think I will be rotating my keepers. I have done it in the past, and I think it does work well. Because I think,
what, with a 5.5 and a 4.5?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's,
yeah. I mean, I have had parts, you know, there were times last season where I was alternating between the two, and I was looking at the fixtures and trying to, you know, almost second guess, you know, which way it's going to go.
Yeah.
And obviously sometimes, you know, you're completely off, but there are times you do get it right. And so that's when it really does pay dividends.
So just looking at Wolves' first few fixtures, you've got Everton at home, Leicester away, Man City at home, West Ham away, Burnley at home, Man U away. It's not an easy run.
It's a difficult opening
start. The only really good run-ins, I think, at the moment, you've got Man City, yeah, who, after Arsenal, they've got a really good run. You've got Everton, but the problem is I don't really trust Everton's defence at the moment. After their 22-0 win, they fucking lost everything else after that, and they played really badly.
But there's rumours they want to sign another centre-back, so it depends who comes in there.
Rojo, wasn't it, I heard? Is it Rojo?
Well, I'm not, okay. I'm definitely not going to Everton. Let's sign Rojo. It was
30 million or something like that. It was to Everton. Obviously, Pickford's 5. He's not 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
And then Palace. Again, do you trust Palace's defence? I actually really like Palace at the moment, but we don't know who's going to be starting with Palace. That's the problem in goal, because they bought that new keeper, didn't they?
Yeah, so we don't know who'll be starting in goal, but they've definitely got a few options in terms of defence. But yeah, I think in terms of keepers, okay, we've got two different strategies. I think you go with what's right for you, and also, you know, if you're needing funds elsewhere, then yeah, sure, go with a 4.0 keeper. I think going with 4.0 keeper is a lot easier to do from the second third of the season onwards. The reason being, you sort of know who's playing, who's not. You know which set keeper you can have.
Yeah.
Whereas I think at the beginning you might be alternating between the two, so it's easier.
Yeah. Anything else on keepers?
No, I hate talking about keepers.
It's
it's just the most boring position. Anyone who can't play outfield plays as a keeper, right?
Just in case anyone did get that, I am a keeper, and that's why he's saying that. Fucking idiot. So basically, Chez is essentially rotation pair, but expensive rotation pair. And I am 4.5 and a 4.0. That's where I'm currently at. Okay, so let's move on to, what should we talk about next, Chez?
Budget players.
Cool. So essentially, this is our two best players that we like from each position, budget players that we like. And yeah, so defenders, midfielders and attackers.
Mm-hmm.
Chez, do you want to kick us off? So let's go.
Are we skipping keepers then? Or we've already touched upon that?
Yeah, we've already talked about keepers, haven't we?
Okay, well, just to sort of emphasise, I probably would consider Patricio and probably Ryan, but not in the first few fixtures, just because I think they've got United and Liverpool in their first three, and then, if I'm not mistaken, they've got City after a few games.
Yeah.
But after that spell, then I would definitely consider Ryan. He had a good season last year. Anybody else you want to add in terms of keepers?
No.
Okay. Defenders, Tompkins for me, 4.5. His attacking returns. I mean, I only got him in pretty late last season. And I remember there was a guy in my mini league, you had him and he was scoring, you know,
so often. He, you know, he's a great player. 4.5. I thought his value would go up. I thought this season they'd put him up to 5.
What did he score last season? So 3 goals.
It felt like a lot more. It felt like a lot more. The guy in my mini league always had him, and yeah, you know, when he did score those 3 goals, he was scoring some big points. So I would definitely say Tompkins. The other one who's good value, you probably spotted as well, Wan-Bissaka, if he starts, 4 million.
Yeah.
But then it's a case of, do you want to double up on Palace? I'm not sure I do.
Yeah, it's not necessarily having both, but it's just highlighting for our listeners kind of the ones that we like.
Yeah, that's a fair shout. Have you got anybody else there?
So I had Tompkins, and the other one that I had was Schlupp.
Yeah.
Again, Crystal Palace.
Yeah, fucking Palace. Could have a whole defence of Palace defenders.
but I like Schlupp because he's out of position. He was playing left mid, I think, the last couple of pre-season friendlies. Whether or not he starts there, I don't know, but it is one to keep an eye on. If we're kind of talking other players, potentially you've got Cedric as well in terms of defenders, as a budget defenders. I think he's a good shout.
He's at 4.5.
He's 4.5. It's Southampton. But if he is playing, you know, if he's playing as a wing back, I think he's a real consideration. Depends how Southampton are setting up. But yeah, those are kind of the best two that I think, defenders wise.
Schlupp, if he's starting, it's definitely a consideration. If he's playing in midfield, but it's always a rotation risk with him. You know, is he going to be playing week in, week out?
Yeah,
that's the only thing I'm not sure about. Happy with defence?
Yeah, cool. Okay. Yeah.
So midfield, we're going for budget midfielders. See, I think midfield's a little bit tough. I couldn't see how budget. What are we saying? 6 and under?
So I would say 6 and under.
Because you've got a few at 6.5, but yeah, 6 and under.
Really 6.5 is budget.
6 and under is difficult. Kennedy is the one I would consider.
Yeah, but he's shit start though. Newcastle have got a fucking terrible start.
They
have. That's the problem.
He's the one I picked out. Who else have you got in there?
So I've got Kearney from Fulham.
Mm-hmm.
5 million. Last year, 6 goals, 5 assists. I think he's on pens as well.
I was going to say, he's on pens as well.
So he scored 2 pens last season, I think. 2 or 3, something like that. 5 million. I think as a 4th or 5th midfielder, I think he's a good option.
Mm-hmm.
For 5 million, I don't think you can go wrong. And the other guy who I had, and you'll probably laugh at me, is Lennon. So
I thought he'd retired. He should have retired.
So Burnley, I think he's going to be playing on the wing. So there's an attacking from the attacking 3, and for 5 million, I think he's a really good shout.
If he can rediscover some of the form he had several years ago.
Yeah, and Burnley's fixtures are decent to start off with. The only problem is the Europa League. So it depends what they're going to do if they get knocked out. I think they drew 1-1 last week with Aberdeen. If they get knocked out, then I would even consider another, like, one of their defenders. At the moment, I don't have any of their defence.
Yeah, I was actually considering Pope in goal until I found out he got injured.
Well, Heaton is injured as well at the moment. So, they
don't have a keeper.
I don't think they put the third one in the thing yet.
In the FPL.
But I don't know when Heaton's back.
So I had a look at their fixtures, and their opening fixtures, they've got a good start. Where if they had a full strength team, you'd expect them to be picking up a few clean sheets.
Yeah.
But if they don't have a recognised keeper, that's going to be a little bit difficult. Yes, I think midfield is, for me, it was definitely the area that I think you're a little bit light on budget midfielders. Anything less than 6. Is there anyone else?
No, I think that's, if we're saying like just a couple, I'd say those are kind of my 2 favourite ones.
Okay.
There are loads of options, obviously, when it comes to under 6,
mm-hmm.
But those are kind of my 2 favourite ones.
Okay. So if we're moving on to strikers, what are we saying budget-wise?
6.5 and below for strikers.
Yeah.
So
who have you got?
I've got Wood,
mm-hmm.
6.5. Burnley, I really like Wood. 10 goals last season, played really well, and the problem with Burnley is that they don't often get many chances, and they're not kind of known as an attacking team, are they? They're like really a defensive team, so it's difficult with Burnley. I personally would rather pay the 0.5 extra and go for someone like Arnie or Zaha, but if we're talking options and budget, I'd probably say him. The other one I really like, and it depends, because he's been playing in a two with Palace at the moment, is Soloff.
He's at five.
It depends whether or not he nails a starting starting, you know, he manages to nail down a position. We just don't know.
And also, if he's just there to hold the ball up and do a Giroud, what he did in the World Cup, not actually, you know,
not do anything,
but just hold the ball up and be a supporter.
Do you know what? One more I want to say, I forgot midfielders, and I think could be a good option is Barkley at six. It depends, obviously, on how. We're going to talk about Chelsea a bit later, but it does depend on how they line up. But at 6 million, I think he's a good shout, if he's playing, or even if Ruben Loftus-Cheek, if he's playing, he's 5.5. So I think it's one to keep an eye out on the Chelsea players. We'll go through them a bit later anyway, because they're on the agenda. Chez, for you.
I thought of Wood as well, but again, you know, depending on Europa League and how seriously they take that. The other player I considered was Glenn Murray. I know you don't like
fucking
him.
Murray Mintz.
I know you don't like him, but he got 12 goals last season. And for a 6.5 player, that's not bad.
But again, Brighton have got terrible fixtures.
But that's the thing, the fixtures to begin with are not great. And then the other sort of two were Tosun and... Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
Before I get
it. Yeah.
You know? Maybe someone out there going, you don't pronounce it like that. Fuck. No, joking. And yes. Yeah. Now, I don't know who's going to be starting between the two of them.
It's going to be Tosun, isn't it?
It looks as though, from pre-season, it looks as though it'll be Tosun. So I would probably say one of those three as your budget picks.
Okay.
Yeah. Happy with that?
Cool.
Let's move on to our premium strikers. Well, we're only considering two here, but Aguero and Aubameyang.
Yeah, so on Twitter, there's a lot of kind of chat at the moment. Do you go Aguero? Do I go Aubameyang? So I thought we'd do a little section on it in terms of what our thoughts are. So Aguero last season, he scored how many goals? 21 goals last season, didn't he? 6 assists. Last four seasons, he scored above 20 goals every season.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Aguero. He's one of those kind of Aguero, always captain Aguero, isn't he? Like, but what do you do? I think it's really tough this season. We don't know about Man City. We don't know how they're going to start. We don't know what formation they're in. We don't know if KDB's in. We're so unsure, I'm just not sure.
Don't get me wrong, you know, a few years ago, Aguero would be the first name on your team sheet. He was phenomenal. You know, you'd be captaining him pretty much every week, to the point it almost got boring because everyone had the same captain. It came to double game week and everyone would captain Aguero.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was no differential there. But now Jesus has come in and there's going to be some rotation there.
But even for the first few weeks, at least, you think?
Well, apparently Aguero hasn't even started training yet. I heard he's just coming back, so he's not going to be.
Neither
has Jesus, so he's not going to be that much fitter than Jesus.
Yeah.
So, once the two of them are fit, there is going to be some rotation, and that first game week is a difficult fixture against Arsenal, especially away. Arsenal have got a new manager. I expect them to be a lot better than they were under Wenger.
Yeah.
So, 11 million is a lot to be spending. So I initially had Aguero in my sort of first draft, which I put together, but I've now taken him out simply because of the uncertainty. Not for me.
Aubameyang, what are your thoughts?
For me, I think this is going to be his season. I think he had a reasonable season last year, but I think this season he's really going to kick on. It looks as though, they've played two different ways in pre-season. He's played on the left of the front three, sort of supporting Lacazette,
and he's also played up top. So it looks as though Emery prefers him to Lacazette, in the sense that if they're going for, you know, one of the two, it's going to be Aubameyang. So I don't think he's a rotation risk
in that way. My only problem is where exactly is, if he's playing on the wing, are you better off going with Lacazette for 9.5, saving the 1.5? That's my only concern. And that's why I've been switching between him and not.
But Aubameyang will still score goals playing on the wing. I think playing up top or playing the wing, he's a little bit like Zaha, in the sense that even if he's playing on the wing, he's still going to be, you know, getting in the box and scoring lots of goals. So if it was a straight choice for me, Aubameyang.
Out of the two, yeah?
Out of the two.
Yeah, see, I'm Aguero. I'd go for Aguero out of the two if I was to pick. I think the other reason why I would go for Aguero at the moment, and do you know what? This is all a caveat, because it all depends on Charity Shield. It depends on who's starting. If Aguero doesn't start on the Charity Shield, I wouldn't touch him. Yeah, it's got to be who's going
to
start.
He's
going
to have to start on the Charity
Shield. This is what I'm saying, right? Surely. It depends on what a lot of what we're discussing now will, you know, it may change depending on what happens. That's going to be a big, you know, turning point for us, in terms of everyone's going to be tinkering their teams after that, whether or not we're into Chelsea, more in Man City invested. But as it stands right now, I would choose Aguero and have someone like Ozil.
Haven't you now taken Aguero out of your team?
Yeah, only because I've got someone else. Who I'll go through later.
So you must have had some doubts about him.
Yeah, to a certain... I've got doubt about him. I have got doubt about him, but only a little bit. But if I'm talking about the two, if we're going just Aguero versus Aubameyang, which is what we're discussing,
mm-hmm.
I would choose Aguero. Yeah, there's another option at the moment that I've been leaning towards. But that's the reason why.
If Aguero's game time wasn't at risk, then probably yes, because City score... Well, they, obviously last year they scored a lot more goals than Arsenal did, and I would still expect them to score more goals this season, even though I think Arsenal will improve. So if it was a straight consideration between the two, then definitely Aguero. But because of the Jesus factor, that's why I would edge towards Aubameyang. And okay, especially after game week two, where Arsenal have got that run of sort of six on paper reasonably good fixtures.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds fair. Right. So we'll take a quick break and then we'll be back. Okay, guys. So next on the agenda is Tosin versus Arnie versus Zaha. So for that kind of second striker position, potentially even third striker position, a lot of people are considering one of these three at the moment, so that's the reason why we thought we'd have a quick discussion about who we're on, who we like, what our thoughts on them are. So Shez, do you want to kick us off? I guess, who do you prefer out of the three? Who do you have in out of the three?
Yeah, you mentioned that a few people are considering one out of the three. I'm actually considering two out of the three. So I've actually got Zaha and Arnie at the moment. They both scored, Zaha scored 9 last season, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And Arnie scored 11. So reasonable returns. They're both in at 7 million. So that frees up funds to spend elsewhere. I think Zaha's going to get better this season. You know, he's been improving every season. Arnie's going to be playing under a much better manager. I think you guys are going to be a lot more attacking, and he's got a much better midfield sort of support coming. So that should help his goal returns as well. Tosin, again, is there going to be some rotation off Nias? Arnie's going to be playing every game, isn't he?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, even if someone like Carroll comes in there, you just push out Arnie.
Yeah, the only concern with Arnie is how he fits in when Hernandez comes back and what that is, and whether or not he then switches to the wing, which is what he's playing for with Stoke.
Yeah.
That's the only concern with Arnie. But at the moment, he seems to be playing in that
sole position. Would Hernandez necessarily be a starter?
Well, he wasn't under Moyes.
Yeah.
But when you consider
Pellegrini,
you know, Pellegrini's an attacking manager, Hernandez in his stature, you know, historically he is the out and out goal scorer. But you can't drop Arnie in his current form at the moment.
No, so that's what I mean. So he would be a starter, whether it's just whether he's playing in that
you know, up number nine position or just on the wing on off the main striker. So Zaha and Arnie both be starters, 7 million. I don't know why people are even having doubts about them. I mean, if they were 7 million as a midfielder, you'd be having them in straight away.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, who are the premium strikers that, okay, you've got Aguero and Aubameyang, we mentioned, Kane when he comes back.
Well, a man that we've both got.
Well, there is Mr. Alvaro Morata, who may not even be at Chelsea in the next week or two. And Lukaku. But yeah, I mean, for the time being, I have them both. So.
Do you know, just quickly diverting, we've won, you know, 1.5 pods in, and you know who we haven't even mentioned yet?
Who?
Harry fucking Kane.
Yeah, that's because
I know he's
probably in Magaluf somewhere. And, you know, he's not...
I can't believe, like, we haven't discussed him. Like, it's just mad to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, we are going to have Harry Kane in our team at some point.
Yeah.
He's a golden machine. But do we need to discuss him? It's August. Harry Kane doesn't score in August, does he? So.
That's true. Anyway, we're digressing. So if you had a pick of one of those three, and you could only pick one of those three, who would you pick?
I know Arnie's return last season was better, but for me, Zaha.
Okay. Fair enough.
Because I think Zaha's going to have a better season.
It all depends where he goes, if he goes, if he stays.
If he goes, then obviously that changes my decision, because if he goes to somewhere like Tottenham, the thing is, if he goes, he's going to go for 70 million, so you still expect him to be a starter, but there's that rotation risk where if he's at Palace, he starts.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Zaha's fit, he plays, he's the first name on that team sheet. So, yeah, for me, Zaha, but I know you're probably going to say different because your West Ham bias is coming in. So, let's hear it.
So, I had Tosin in for a long time. After that 22-0 win and just like the way that...
It's a pop team.
I know, but it's fucking... You just put him in, don't you? So I put him in. And then Richarlison signed. And as soon as Richarlison signed, I was like, right, Tosin, you can fuck off. And I put Richarlison straight in. The problem I've got with Everton is... While Silva is like a really attacking manager... They're not really doing that well at the moment pre-season. I know you can't really judge pre-season, but I have got nothing else to go. We've got nothing else to go on, do we? I think that Arnie and Zaha are better options. Last week, I didn't have Arnie and Zaha. I had just Arnie in.
Mm-hmm.
Then the whole week, I've gone with Arnie and Zaha. And I had Arnie, Zaha and Aguero. And then today, I've taken Zaha out. Put in another 4.5, taken out Aguero and put in Morata. That's going to change, probably. I'm still flirting between the ideas. I'm not really sure.
So if you had to choose one of the three, I think it'd be Arnie.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I think in his current form, you've got to have him. And the other thing as well, look, I know Palace's fixtures are great. That, you know, to begin with, they're really good fixtures. But the problem, the thing is with Arnie, he's fixture-proof. In the sense that he's scored against all the big teams. So I know we've got a hard run, but I have no doubt that he can score against them. I think he'll score against Liverpool. I think he can score against Arsenal. Like, I don't have a problem with him scoring. So that's the reason why. And if the goals are going to come, they're going to come through him, whether he assists it or he scores.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why, I would choose him. But there's still a possibility that I'm going to put in Zaha as well. Okay.
And none of them are on penalties, are there? So that's not a consideration.
No. Tosin might be. You know, because Baines... But now Bain... I don't know how you fucking pronounce his name. Digne? The new guy, the left back that they signed?
Yeah.
From Barca?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the right spelling, the pronunciation. Although someone's probably going to have a go at us for that as well. I think that's how you pronounce it. So Baines would have been on pens before... But now, is he even going to be in the team? We don't know. So, Tosin, he might be on pens. We don't know. Arnie's behind Noble. Noble's obviously the main penalty taker. And then it's
Well, Palace will be Millie.
Yeah.
So, that's not a consideration. Okay, fair enough. So Zaha for me, Arnie for you. But there is a consideration to have
both.
Both.
Yeah, I think so. It depends what kind of formation you want to go in, and that's a lot to do with it as well, because I want a 4-4-2. I want four at the back, and I want four in midfield, which means I have to obviously have two up front. So that's the reason. I have seen some teams with Arnie and Zaha in a 4-4-2,
just those two,
and then a beefy midfield. The problem is you know, when the expensive strikers start banging in.
I was going to say,
it's going to be difficult to.
We're considering sort of more than one of them, and that's essentially because the big hitters are away. I mean, once Kane. Okay, Aguero's there now, but I mean, once all the big hitters are in, Lukaku, then I don't think I would have both Arnie and Zaha. I think it's just for the first few weeks, and then I would probably want a Kane or Lukaku in my team.
How are you going to be able to do that without taking out Morata, though? That's the problem.
Well, I probably...
That's the issue, right?
I mean, let's see how things go with Chelsea. Because if they don't sign another striker, then I would expect Morata to be the main striker.
Yeah.
Especially under Sarri, because he doesn't favour that sort of big target man, which Giroud's the only other option. You know, so I think Morata would be the starter if they don't sign anyone else. But let's see what happens with Higuain.
Cool. Anything else you want to talk about them three?
I think that's okay to move on.
Right, so this is your section, Chez. So we're going to talk about United and what the fuck is happening there.
You know what? I'm normally so passionate about United. But I told you I watched the friendly against Liverpool on Saturday evening. And it was... I mean, I know you can't read too much into pre-season, and you know, we didn't have too many players that are necessarily going to be regular starters. Liverpool had a stronger team out than we did, but it's sort of all unravelling. It's going a little bit wrong. Jose's having a tantrum. You know, I watched the game and I just wanted to hear what he was going to say afterwards, and he literally picked on everyone, anyone and everyone that you can imagine. And I actually made some notes on this, and I thought I'll read you out a few things on some of the people he picked on. He just had an absolute rant. You know, he lamented the absence of his senior players. He criticised the standard of some of the younger players. He ridiculed the standard of the referee, who gave two penalties against us. He reflected on you know, transfer targets, on the one that he won't get, who I presume is Willian. And then he highlighted inactivity on the transfer target, who he believes he still will get.
Yeah.
Who I think will be Alderweireld. He expressed his frustration at injuries. He had a pop at Valencia for coming back out of shape from his holiday. He had a go at Martial. He went to everyone. He, you know, invited his World Cup stars who have just gone on holiday to cut their holiday short, claiming that we are in trouble for the start of the season. And then the cherry on the cake, and this was just... I was just like, I'm just going to switch off the TV. I can't deal with this anymore. He questioned why supporters came out to watch the game. You know, why would they pay to watch the team? I mean, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to get yourself fired? I mean...
Was it justified? Do you reckon it was just...
The thing is, I don't know what his motive is. I don't know what he's trying to do. I don't know if it's genuine unhappiness. If he's trying to make a point to Woodward that, you know, we need transfers. You know, we need to be signing a few players and we need them now. Or if he was deflecting attention away from a heavy defeat from, you know, one of our closest rivals, because Mourinho's got a history of doing that. You know, as soon as something like this happens, he protects the players. But the problem is, he was having a pop at the players as well. Mm. You know, he wanted Martial to come back. And
they must be pissed, though.
Who, like, Martial or Jose?
All these players.
Well,
like,
yeah. I mean, he must be creating, you know, he's creating this culture of negativity, which can't be helping. You know, he was asked about Sanchez, whether he's happy, and he sort of responded with something along the lines of, oh, how can he be happy with the players he's playing around him? I mean, you can't say that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, I don't know what's up. I'm hoping once the season starts, things will change. And once we get Pogba, Lukaku, Lingard, everyone back, then things will, you know, the issues will start to iron themselves out. But at the moment, I'm staying well away from United. I haven't had Luke Shaw in, and I've taken him out.
Yeah, so did I.
what, because of what I said to you.
Yeah, he said to me, take all fucking out. Don't have any United. I was like, yeah, shit.
I mean, I did tell you this straight after the game where I was just like, okay, we're shit. This is, you know, this can't be happening. But, yeah, I think I'd probably stay away from United from the start of the season.
Even defensively, like...
Well, we've got defensive issues. I mean, Smalling pulled out. It doesn't look like it's anything very serious, but he pulled out and he couldn't start the game. So Baye came in and he already had a bit of a knock to his ankle and apparently that got worse. They're both expected to be fit, so that shouldn't be an issue. We don't have a right back. Valencia's injured and he's going to be out for the start of the season.
So who's your replacement?
So Dalot, the young kid that we signed, is also injured. So we don't have a right back, so that's why he asked Ashley Young to come back early. We've got Darmian. There's no guarantee whether he's going to be staying or not. Napoli apparently are interested in signing him up on a loan deal with a view to signing him after the season on a permanent deal. And Luke Shaw is carrying a knock. So
he looked like a fat fucker as well.
No, no, he's lost a lot of weight. Really? Have you seen him? He looks really trim. He's got a six-pack and everything. He's lost a lot of weight. He is looking in shape. So that's the issue. I mean, De Gea has only just come back as well. I think he's likely to play some part in the game against Madrid. But I would stay away from United. The only person who I thought represented some sort of value was Mata at 6.5. But, you know, Jose is playing the senior players pretty much, you know, almost 90 minutes in his preseason games. And Sanchez looks knackered. Mata looks knackered. Herrera looks knackered. And the three of these are going to be starting against Leicester. You know, I was so optimistic. I told you I'm going up for the game against Leicester. I've had to take half a day off at work just to bloody get there. But now I'm thinking this could be a disaster. You know, I'm glad Mahrez has left Leicester because otherwise, you know, I don't want to be going up there to see us bloody getting turned over.
So basically your advice is stay the fuck away from that.
Well, I think initially, see how things go. It could just be Jose ranting. And ultimately, if he gets his signings, then it could all change. If we get a solid centre-back and
If you get Maguire, right?
Mm-hmm.
5.5.
Yeah.
He represents good value, I think.
He does, but he's only just coming back from the World Cup as well.
Yeah, that's the point.
So there's no guarantee he would feature in game week one.
And Alderweireld is 6, isn't he?
Alderweireld is 6. If Alderweireld is fit... Well, he's just gonna be coming back as well, so he won't feature in game week one. But I would definitely prefer him out of the two, not from an FPL perspective. I guess Maguire would probably be better, because he's more of an attacking threat. But I would definitely prefer Alderweireld. But yeah,
in days gone by though, Alderweireld has always been an attacking threat though, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does carry some threat. He does carry some threat as well.
But I guess for the extra 0.5, Maguire probably is better value. I guess. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And then Sanchez is actually looking reasonable, but is he 10.5 or something?
Yeah, 10.5.
It's a little bit expensive for me. The only one I would consider at the moment is Mata. But then also,
if he picks up form, then I think Sanchez, even at 10.5, is good.
Yeah, if he's the Sanchez of old,
yeah,
who's scoring goals and getting assists, then definitely. But no, not for the time being. I wait for the big hitters to come back, and then if Pogba starts playing like the way he did for France in the World Cup, then I'd get someone like Pogba in at 8 million.
Cool. But anything else on United?
No, I think United, you kind of got to just wait and see how the remaining pre-season fixtures go and see who we sign and then take it from there. But at the moment, I would sort of, stay away.
Cool. Right, so let's talk a little bit about Chelsea, just for a couple of minutes. So, I've been kind of looking at them just to kind of see what kind of team they're going to start off with.
Mm.
Because, you know, and I think the Charity Shield will tell us a lot. I think transfer window will tell us a lot. But at the moment, it looks like, you know, obviously Courtois in goal. Is he going to even be back for game week one? We don't even know that, do we?
Well, is he going to be at Chelsea?
I think he'll be at Chelsea.
Well, there's rumours that negotiations have stalled, but...
We just don't know, right?
We don't know.
At the back, it's probably going to be Luiz, I think. They're playing like a kid as well. Can't remember his name at centre-back at the moment, but it's probably going to be Rudiger, I would imagine.
It's not Mr. 59 Minutes himself.
The biggest FPL troll. Everyone hates it. Everyone hates it.
He cost me last season.
I mean, even if it was like 2 million, you wouldn't put him in your team.
I just would not consider him. That's Christensen, just for the avoidance of doubt.
And then you've got Cahill as an option as well. And obviously, he's just...
I don't think Cahill will start. I mean, it's difficult to say. Again, we don't know how Chelsea are going to play, and we're fortunate that we've got the Community Shield, so that should be an indication of who's going to be starting the back line. But I don't think it'll be Cahill. I think Luis is a shout.
At 5.5, I think he's really good value.
If he starts.
Yeah, of course, if he starts.
But it, again, is he going to start? And also, if he does start, are Chelsea going to be rotating?
Yeah. Is he going to put Azpilicueta in the mid in as a centre back and then play Zappacosta on the right? That's another option, right?
That's another option.
It's really difficult to tell at the moment. And then obviously at the back, obviously you've got Alonso as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
it looks like he's the preferred left back. He's been.
Yeah, I just don't know if he's an option though, in terms of from an FBL point of view, if he's not left wing back.
Yeah,
that's my only concern. Unless he plays in left midfield, that could be an option. Could do that, but again, we don't know what kind of.
But if he's playing left back, you wouldn't expect his attacking returns to be quite the same.
Yeah.
As a left wing back, so and he's quite expensive at 6.5.
So and then going into midfield, and this is where it comes to a bit of a minefield, isn't it? So in pre-season, I think they've been playing like Pedro and Barkley and Hudson-Odoi. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Who's like a young kid, and if Barkley carries on playing in that number 10 position, you know, because we don't know how he's going to set out, but if Barkley plays in that number 10 position, I think for 6 million he becomes a real consideration. You know, any Chelsea player who's 6.5 and below and is playing in the Chelsea lineup, I think is a consideration, you know, if they're playing in midfield. And then you've got obviously Morata, the guy that we both got in. Why did you choose Morata?
I just heard, I think it was on TalkSport, they were talking about Sarri and, you know, his playing style and Napoli, and the fact that he favours someone who's a bit more agile rather than someone like Giroud.
Yeah.
And that's why apparently he's interested in Higuain. So if they don't sign Higuain, then I would expect Morata to be the starter.
Yeah.
I rate Morata. I don't think he had best of season last year, but you know, first season in, I think, you know, if he's given the chance, he could do well. 9.0, that's reasonable.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. I actually put Morata in because I read an article on the on Planet FPL from a guy, Ricky Saunders. So shout out to you, mate, who wrote a really good article on kind of putting in Morata, and that's the reason why I got him in, and it basically said similar to what you were saying in terms of Sarri's style and how he plays. So yeah, that's why I got him in. But you know, do you reckon Giroud's going to play then, in terms of will he play two or he'll just
No, I think it'll just be one up top, and I think if it's a choice of Morata and Giroud, it'll be Morata.
Cool. I think that's Chelsea pretty much covered.
Definitely. I mean, with Chelsea, like I said, we
don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. Willian as well.
Yeah, I mean, let's see what happens in the Community Shield. That should be a very good indication of who's likely to start game week one. And then take it from there.
Cool. We'll have another quick break and then we'll wrap up with our favourite pick. So one from each position and then your listener questions. And it changes to our team. All right, guys. So moving on to the next section. So our favourite pick. So I guess one from each position that you really like. It doesn't necessarily have to be in your team, but someone that, you know, you really favour. So Shez.
And here, money is no consideration, value.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, for me, I've chosen players that are in my team and are not going. That's kind of the way that I've looked at it from mine. So.
Okay.
But for you?
So, goalkeeper, I've got Alisson in for reasons I explained earlier. But I think one to look out for is the keeper that Arsenal have signed, Leno. 5 million. I don't know if he'll be starting or whether it'll be Czech. But either one of them will be 5 million. So that's a good way to get into the Arsenal back line at a reasonable price. Who have you got?
So I've chosen Fabianski.
Yeah, of course. Of course, so you're going to have a West Ham goalkeeper, West Ham defender, West Ham midfielder. Should have known, right?
I've chosen Fabianski purely because for saves, I reckon he's going to rack up them points. And I think he represents really good value. And I'm almost 100% confident he's not going for my team. So
okay.
That's why I've chosen Fab. Defender, Shez?
I suspect we're going to have the same guy here because we've been, you know, we've been mentioning him since our first pod, Robertson.
Yeah, same guy as me.
Yeah. Phenomenal in terms of attacking returns.
And I think 6 million represents good value there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're saving 0.5 compared to someone. Is Trippier 6.5?
No, Trippier's 6, I think. Trippier's 6. Aspilicueta and Alonso are 6.5. Otamendi's 6.5. But Trippier, I think, is 6. And so is Davies.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so same price.
But because of their opening fixtures.
That's the thing.
And also Tottenham, you don't know what's happening. I mean, I was considering Davies, but because of their opening fixtures, that's the reason why I haven't,
mm-hmm.
In terms of the players coming back. But Robertson, for me, I think he's not going for my team, and he's definitely staying there.
Is there, when fixtures start to sort of build up, a potential rotation risk when they have Champions League with Moreno?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, the fixture starts getting hard after game week 5 or 6. Like I say, I'm almost confident I'm going to go for an early wild card at game week 4, so I'm not even looking past that.
But is he going to survive your wild card, do you think?
I don't know. It depends what happens.
Fair enough.
I'll probably stick him in. I'll probably have him and Davies, I think. Davies is on my... I really wanted Davies. The only reason I haven't put him in is because I don't know how Tottenham are going to do. Whereas Liverpool have a good start. I'm confident Robertson will start. They've a lot of their players are back,
mm-hmm.
Like we've mentioned already.
Yeah, well, I mean,
so that's why I think
been...
six million, he represents great value. Midfield?
Ozil for me.
Good shout.
8.5. He gets lots of assists. He gets some goals. Already mentioned, I think Arsenal will be a lot better this season. I don't have him in my team at the moment just because they're their opening two fixtures. But once those two are done, I will probably try to get him in. So yeah, for me, around that 8.5 bracket, I didn't see anyone else that sort of level.
Okay, so for me, I've got Richarlison. He played his first full game on the weekend. He scored. I think he's loves Silva. Silva loves him.
He's just one for the first few months, right? Because he just doesn't do anything after.
Well, I think it's because Silva left. That's the thing. As soon as Silva left, he did fuck all.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason why I've got him in. I really like the run of fixtures that Everton have got. There is a little bit of a question mark over Everton as a whole at the moment. But I think at 6.5, he represents great value. So for me, I would say that Richarlison's not going for my team. Obviously, I was going to say obviously Salah, but everyone, well, 50% of the game have got Salah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have Salah because I want Salah. I have Salah because I need Salah because of his ownership.
Yeah.
So that's why I say Richarlison.
Just talking about Salah, sort of diverting slightly, but I mentioned to you during the United game that, you know, Mane took the first penalty.
Yeah.
If he's on penalties, is he a consideration?
Well, so I did have Mane in as well for a little while. I flirted with the two of them. I'm not sure. I think he's definitely a consideration. The problem is when Firmino's back, will Firmino take him? That's the only thing I'm not sure of.
Yeah.
Because I think Salah and Firmino shared them last year, didn't they? He was taking some and Firmino was taking some, and I don't know, I think they shared them last year.
I mean, so what was interesting was that Milner was on the pitch at the time, so
yeah,
Milner normally takes them and he didn't, so it's just whether Mane's going to have that additional responsibility this year.
Forward?
Zaha.
You know who I've got.
Yeah, I'm sure I know who you got. Zaha, but there is a number of players I can pick. I think Aubameyang's going to have a great season. I mentioned earlier, Morata, if Chelsea don't sign in with anybody else. So I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being my forward line, you know, halfway into the season, Zaha, Aubameyang and Morata. But Zaha, you know, you are saving a bit of money there. He's at 7 million.
So it's Arnie for me. He's not leaving my side. He's the only one, only attacking player that's not leaving my side.
You know, United were interested in, well, there were rumours that United were interested in earlier in the window. There's nothing really to come about it now. So if he moved to United, would he still be in your side?
If he started, yeah. If he started, yeah. He wouldn't start at United, though. I don't know where he would play. I don't know, because he got Lukaku, so he'd probably play on the wing, wouldn't he? That's the problem. That's a lot of his... A lot of the reasons why
Mourinho
really like
probably
him
put him as a left back.
The way he's at the moment. Cool. Anything else you want to? Any other picks?
No, I think that was just a quick roundup of sort of a player from each position. But again, we might, we'll probably reflect on that maybe just before the start of the season. That could change again.
Okay. Cool. Right. So we'll move on to listener questions. First of all, thanks a lot for all your questions, guys. We really appreciate it. So the first question is from @GuruFPL. He says, or she says, Mitrovic or 0.5 up to Arnie / Zaha?
I think we probably already answered this. Well, especially about Arnie and Zaha, I would go the 0.5. Mitrovic, he was at Newcastle a few seasons ago.
He did really well at Fulham last year, though.
I know, but that's in the Championship. You know, is he going to make that step up in the Premier League? Are Fulham going to score lots of goals?
I think they overpriced him, you know. Yeah, I think,
yeah, I think they have as well.
Yeah, I think if he was 5 or 5.5, I think it'd be in 80% of teams.
5.5, I'd consider him.
Yeah, definitely.
No more than 5.5. I think even 6 would be
too
much.
As a third striker. Definitely put him in. But 6.5, I think it's a bit too much. You can pay 0.5 more and you get Arnie and Zaha, who are proven in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So I think we
agree on that.
Okay, so next question is from @FPL_Badger. Will either of you leave any money in the bank to help with preparation for game week 2?
Not intentionally. If I've done my team and I'm happy with it and there happens to be money in the bank, then great. But I don't,
because you've got money in the bank at the moment.
I've got money in the bank at the moment, but that's just, like I said, I've been changing my team, pretty much every other day. If I come across a team that I'm happy with and there happens to be money in the bank, I'm not going to just spend the money for the sake of spending it. And at the same time, I'm not necessarily going to hold back money unless I know there's a transfer I definitely want to carry out in game week 2.
Yeah.
Just before game week 2. That's my view. What's yours, Sham?
So I've been really thinking about this hard. It all depends on the position. So at some I really want 4 at the back, and when I've been playing around with my team, the players, it kind of works out that if I go 3-4-3, I've got like a 6.0 defender on the bench, which doesn't really work. Or if I go 4-4-2, I've got like Zaha, for example, like before, on the bench, which again doesn't really work. So another option that I was thinking is to go 4-3-3, potentially, and have Zaha and Arnie with, like a Morata and Aguero or whatever. But then I'll end up with a 6.5 or a 6 midfielder on the bench. And I just don't feel comfortable having that much money on the bench. So another option I thought was, well, what if I go for a 4.5 and a 5 and then have 2 million in the bank so that I can...
Honestly, I'm glad you got to that. You just lost me with your 4 defenders, 5 defenders. I mean,
listen, it's a fucking minefield, man.
So what?
So
you do want to leave money in the bank or you don't?
I guess the answer is, ideally, I would love to have money in the bank. Whether or not I end up having money in the bank, I don't know.
So you're not going to do it intentionally to have money in the bank, essentially?
No, but I'm not sure. I don't know. At this point, no.
Okay, what I would say is, if you know that there's a player that you definitely want to bring in game week 2, who's of a higher value than the person you're looking to replace, then try and leave some funds there, because otherwise you're going to have to take a hit.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no, not necessarily.
Okay, so the next question is from at FPL underscore Prashant. Jota, Richarlison or Pedro for the third mid, all three scored in the most recent friendlies.
I have two of them. Again, I have Jota and Richarlison at the moment. So I've got to go and say those two. Pedro...
out of one?
One, I'd probably edge towards... oh, that's a tough one. I'd probably edge towards Richarlison because of fixtures. Because Wolves don't have the easiest of starts. But otherwise, it'd almost be flicking a coin because... yeah, I think, you know, Jota, he might be playing further up as well. But also, Jota, we don't know how he's going to do in the Premier League.
Well, that's the reason why I had him in for a while and then I took him out because I wasn't sure.
Well, I suppose, you know, we know Richarlison can score in the Premier League up until November anyway, so...
so, for me, Richarlison, as I mentioned already, but I really like Pedro. I think it all depends what happens on the Community Shield or whatever it's called.
Yeah, but even if he starts the Community Shield, he plays game week one, is he guaranteed to start game week two? That's the thing. You know, if they don't sell Willian.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, it depends if they sell Willian that as well.
You know, you would expect Chelsea to score more goals than Wolves and Everton, but Pedro's game time could be more at risk. So that's why I would probably edge towards Richarlison if it was one.
Yeah, I wouldn't be replacing Richarlison. I'd be adding in an extra, like a Pedro.
Okay.
I think in answer to Prashant's question, if I was to choose one, it would be Richarlison.
Okay.
For me. And I think the same for you?
Yeah, probably Richarlison, Jota, and then Pedro. Unless we see a few weeks in, he's a guaranteed starter. And, you know, in that case, I might consider bringing him in.
Okay. Cool. So next question is from at Senna Brock. Hey guys, are cheap out of position defenders worth getting in, like say Schlupp?
I was going to say Schlupp is the only one that I can think of that's actually playing out of position.
I think the only other one, if we're talking players that are playing in midfield that are classed as defenders,
mm-hmm.
at the moment Schlupp is the only one that I can think of. If we're talking wing backs, then obviously you've got a load more, but I'm guessing by defenders out of position he's probably talking about in midfield, right?
Yeah.
So the only other one that is a consideration is Moses. So it depends who he plays right back, whether or not he goes to Zappacosta, whether or not he chooses Azpilicueta right back. Because if he does do one of them, Moses might play right wing.
So you think that he might play Moses ahead of Pedro or Willian?
As a potential. We don't know, do we? We don't know. We don't
I'd be surprised with that.
Yeah, so would I. Well, you don't. We don't know.
We don't know. But I would be very surprised.
That's the only one I would say to look for. What about Schlupp, though?
Is he necessarily going to be playing week in, week out? That's what I'd be worried about. But otherwise, yeah. I mean, if he's a regular starter, then sure, why not?
Would you consider him?
Maybe, but there are other Palace players who I would select ahead of him.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, Tompkins in defence, Zaha up top, or even Wan-Bissaka if I'm trying to save money, even he's starting.
Yeah.
So that's why, I'm not sure I would want to have three Palace players. So, not at the moment, but then if he's playing week in, week out, and he's getting, you know, the odd goal here and there, then certainly becomes a consideration.
Cool. Next question is from at Downey Jason. Guys, any ideas regarding the defensive lineup for Chelsea in game week one? So I had a bit of a chat with Jason, who DM'd me about it. We discussed it. I guess we pretty much discussed.
Yeah, I think with Chelsea, it's difficult, and there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know.
Community Shield.
We'll reassess Chelsea after the Community Shield. We should have a rough idea of who will be starting, the exact formation. It looks like Sarri prefers a, you know, four at the back. Looks like we'll be going a 4-3-3. But it's difficult to say at this moment. I would expect Azpilicueta and Alonso to be starting, but in terms of centre backs, it could be any of them.
Okay, next one is from at Peter Ovington. When weighing up your squad, do you take into account the high ownership of players and the potential of losing squad value if they do not hit the ground running? If I'm torn between two highly owned players, I tend to go for the player with the lowest value, the lowest ownership.
That's an interesting question. I'm not sure I ever considered it from that way. I've always considered it
the other way, right?
Yeah, it's the other way, especially with you badgering on about Salah. You know, I've always thought, you know, if 50% of the FPL players have, you know, someone like Salah and I don't, and he performs really well on game week one, then I've automatically fallen behind. But I haven't considered the fact that, you know, I'm carrying someone with high ownership and he performs terribly, and I don't want to necessarily transfer him out and everybody else does, then I'm losing value. It's an interesting point, but I'm not sure I would base my decision on that.
I think the only time that I would base my decision on that is with regards to fodder, in terms of players that you've got on the bench that are staying on the bench. So, for example, I've got a 4.0 goalkeeper that I don't ever intend on playing.
Yeah,
I will choose the one that has the lowest.
That's fair enough. The lowest. That's fair enough.
Well, and I think maybe that's what he's.
If he's referring to his bench, then yes, I can understand it. And if he's referring to a starter, then I'd be interested to know who exactly he's thinking about.
Yeah.
So get in contact with us. Let us know. We're happy to sort of reassess that.
Cool. I just want to flip that question another way for a second. So,
is this your question now?
It's not. No, I'm just going to tackle it at both angles, right? So, when weighing up your squad, do you take into account high ownership of players and the potential of losing squad? So, if I look at it the other way, I was thinking about having Firmino because of his squad, like because of his high ownership, because I'm worried that if he does really well, then I'm screwed. That's.
But I heard he might not be signing game week one.
Yeah, so actually his value's probably going to drop.
So his value's probably going to drop.
Yeah, fair point. All right, let's move on then. Right, okay, final question is from Jamie Ellis. Big shout out to you and the Moolah crew. So is Salah essential? And second question, so he's got two. Is Salah essential? Second one is, who is the best 7 million or under striker? So I guess let's tackle the first one. Is Salah essential?
I'm just going to leave you to answer that. You love Salah.
Yes, Jamie, yes. Of course he's fucking essential.
Seriously, did you listen to our first podcast? This guy loves Salah. He loves Salah more than Arnie. I didn't realise that was possible.
Of course he's fucking essential, mate. 50% ownership. He has to be in your fucking team. Like, I'm not even going to say anything else. Just listen to the first podcast. If you've already listened to it, then you'll know my answer. Yes, he is essential purely because of his ownership. Second question then, who is the best 7 million or under striker? I think we've covered
again,
this
we've covered
well.
That.
Zaha or Arnie, I guess, are the best two.
Definitely.
Right, so that is it with regards to questions. So let's wrap up with changes to the team. So Shez, what changes have you made, or what's your team looking like?
So I've made a few changes, quite a few actually. So I've mentioned I've brought Alisson in to have him as sort of my premium keeper. I've brought Mendy in, but again, this one could change because I don't know what his fitness is like. Is he ready to start game week one? Again, I'll reassess this after the Community Shield. I've brought Daniels in as a cheap 4.5 defender, but again, he could just be as a rotation, you know, someone to have on my bench who I can rotate with. And then, yeah, I've got Arnie Zaha up top, and I brought in Morata for the reasons we mentioned earlier. And then midfield, similar to last week, still got Salah, I've got Mahrez, I've got the two 6.5s in, Richarlison and Jota. I'm not 100% happy with my team, but I think it definitely looks better. I think it's stronger all round. More money spent on defence, which I know you love advocating.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much me. How about
okay,
you?
Cool. So my team looks like Fab in goal with Aspilicueta, Patrick Van Aanholt, Mendy and Robertson, so strong back four. Ozil, Salah, Richarlison and Mahrez, with Morata and Arnie up top. And then I've got on the bench, I've got Kearney. At the moment, I've got Kamara, a 4.0 and a 4.5.
So you've got two players on your bench that won't be starting then?
Well, Kearney's going to start.
Kamara won't.
Kamara won't.
And the 4.0 keeper?
Yeah, but I don't care about a 4.0 okay, keeper. Like, Fab's gonna start.
Fab's gonna be Fab. That's gonna be Fab. You're gonna save everything.
Yeah. Right. So that's our team. So coming towards the end of our pod. So just a couple of things. So we've got a new league that we've set up. I think there's like 7-8 people joined so far. On our Twitter handle, which is at FPL2Guys1Cup, I've put the auto join link on our bio, as well as the code on our bio as well. So if you want to join, it'd be great. We're thinking about doing quarterly prizes or something like that. Shares,
yeah, yeah, we'll see. Let's see, you know,
see how many players we get.
Yep, definitely.
So the code to join, I'll say it anyway, is on Twitter handle, but it's 3604-328-448. Next week, so I wasn't originally planning on doing a pod next week because I'm actually on holiday in Disneyland with my wife and kids.
I thought it was a lad's holiday.
yeah, I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, I need to get my priorities straight. I have to do one. Do a pod, especially because the transfer window closes on Thursday and FPL starts on Friday. So we're going to do a pod on Wednesday, aren't we? So we tested out already yesterday and it works out okay over the phone. So we're going to do a pod on Wednesday, maybe Thursday, we'll see. And we'll talk about Community Shield, what kind of where we're at, any transfers that's happened, any changes to the team that we've made. And then what we'll do is, just before the window closes on Friday at some point, we'll both post our teams on our Twitter handle and you guys can see where we're at. If you've got any questions, I will post up a link. Next week's pod's probably going to be a quick one, maybe like half an hour, 40 minutes, just to literally just talk about those things. Anything else from you, Shez?
No, I mean, feel free to join our league. You know, the more of you join, the more fun it will be. And especially if you don't have Salah on your team, I would love you to join someone just to shut this guy up, especially if you can beat him in game week one and show him that it's possible to do well without Salah.
Join, follow us on Twitter, like, retweet. We really appreciate all your support. We genuinely do. And we'll speak to you next week.
Cool. Thanks for listening, guys.
Cheers.
Bye.